COVID-19 vaccinations have proven to be successful in holding off the virus, especially when it comes to serious cases that may have led to hospitalizations among the unvaccinated. But a tiny percentage of people who had received the Oxford AstraZeneca or Johnson & Johnson vaccines had negative reactions that resulted in life-threatening blood clots. A team of researchers went to work nearly a year ago in the hope of learning what was creating the problem. A number of the scientists involved are Arizona-based. I spoke with one of them, ASU Assistant Professor Abhishek Singaroy, and began by asking him to explain how the group approached the challenge and even knew where to start.
What was a potential molecular origin of these very, very rare clotting disorders, rare to the extent of 4 out of a million, 11 out of a million people getting this disorder? So in order to do that, we needed a molecular description of how the vaccine functioned. So we wanted to really see the vaccine in its full molecular details, like how is the vaccine, what is the chemical formula of the vaccine? That's what we wanted to do. That's what we wanted to look into. And using an equipment called a cryo-electron microscopy, a very, very powerful microscope, actually, we determined the structure of the of a particular vector called the adenovirus that composes or constitutes the Oxford vaccine that is circulated by a number of companies around the world, and including in the US, if not the Oxford vaccine itself, but some variant of that. And so what we figured out was that the vaccine was such that its outer surface has a negative charge. And because of that negative charge on the outer surface of the vaccine, which could have only been discovered once we had gotten the, once we had seen the structure of the vaccine, once we had seen how it looks, this negative charge could have been, I'm telling could have been because we are not very sure, but this negative charge on the surface of the vaccine as it is right now, can be a reason these, very rare disorders that some of the users have been subjected to have seen so far.
At what stage of the research did you and your colleagues find that you were making a lot of progress? And I wonder if it was one that you were making gradual progress a bit, or you had what many refer to as the aha moment when it came down to the connection you were trying to make.
The biggest surprise, I would say, was already, like, I disclosed the aha moment. Like, as soon as we had structured of this vaccine particle, the first thing we realized is that the kind of atoms that are present on the outer surface versus on the inner surface gave this particle a negative charge, a net negative charge on the outer surface. So essentially, what the cell receptors sees is the outer surface of the vaccine. So that is very, very important. And the observation that the outer surface is quite negatively charged was literally, like, I would say, a decisive moment, and because that was not known before. Had we not gotten the structure, it would have been difficult for us to decipher, make that point, make that chemical reasoning. And that was a major, I would say, point, like a moment of discovery that we had. Following which, then, of course, one understands that negative things starts attracting positive things. So if the surface of the capsid virus particle, also called capsid, so I've just used a jargon here, very popular jargon in the virology community. So once the surface of the capsid of the virus particle is negative, it will have a tendency of attracting positive proteins towards it. And then we looked into one particular protein called the platelet factor 4, and we found that this platelet factor 4 was binding, which is actually positively charged, the surface of which is quite positively charged, starts interacting with the negatively charged surface of the vaccine. And subsequently, we started hypothesizing certain downstream events that could lead to blood clotting, because PA4 might trigger those kind of events. So the biggest moment of discovery is that this vaccine has a lot of negative charge on its surface.
I wonder if your research is something that could, you know, as we are still dealing with the pandemic, obviously, and people are getting boosters, is this kind of research that could help these vaccine developers and vaccine makers do an even better job the next time or as they're advancing? Again, even as you said, that the clotting fortunately didn't affect many people, it did affect some.
I think that's a correct assumption, I would say, like talking about that from where we stand today, it looks like a correct assumption. In fact, for the same reasons, if you see the manuscript has authors from AstraZeneca who were the company that has been circulating Oxford vaccine in around 184 countries around the world, and the paper that the results from the paper have also been relevant to vaccines from other companies that are available in the US. So the answer is yes, and like the industry understands that, respects their work. Really, one of the few examples where an industrial research team worked hand in hand with research teams in academia to come up with immediate understanding. How much of this understanding is going to translate to a solution is for research that is ongoing, and definitely there is ongoing research about it, including us and others in the community of scientists, and we will see how it goes. But definitely, it's a way forward. Yes, that where these sort of modeling, these sort of experiments, these sort of computer simulations can actually push forward industrial endeavors.
When you're doing this kind of research, uh-huh. when it is real time with what's going on in the world and around the corner, mm-hmm. is there more excitement? Is there more pressure to try to find out what's going on even faster?
It's a mix of both, right? Well, it's definitely a lot of time crunch. I can tell you, like, the group had been working 24/7 on this project, essentially on the modeling aspects, on creating. So it has been like, so there is excitement. Yes, there is excitement. There is a pressure about, you know, being able to deliver quickly, because normally had it not been a pandemic, you could have taken three times, at least two orders, like, you know, twice or twofold or threefold more time. That liberty that you don't have. So essentially you have to forget other parts of your life and literally focus on this problem and work day and night, which we did. But it's exciting also, because discovering something new, possibly for the first time, at least in my career, we have been able to, like, the sciences, I think it's always very, very satisfying and heartwarming to see that your science is contributing towards real world application, real time. Often this translation in sciences takes decades.
That is Abhishek Singaroy. He's an assistant professor in ASU School of Molecular Sciences.